Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 of the DMV. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. We are streaming live on the Odyssey app. And you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network, brought to you by friends at Crop Metcalf. They're the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. I'm Jean-Paul Flame, joined by Jason Bishop. Eric Bickle's here, although he had to run to the bathroom.
Yeah, a little of an issue. Should be back in a couple minutes.
How many times a week does that happen?
Happens a lot. Yeah, maybe twice a week? Once a week, maybe. Once a week.
I mean, it's not infrequent. Mm-mm. It's not rare. Let's punch up line two. Jason wanted to go to Reggie.
Yeah, Reggie.
Chime in on what we were talking about.
Reggie, what's up?
What's up, Reggie?
What's going on, fellas? JP, man, you are way off base on this one. I'm sitting here watching, you know, I've been watching y'all since freaking Bobby the Pro, so I've been 20 years, whatever. When you threw out Malik Willis, Hendon Hooker, and Kenny Pickett, man, I almost threw my head against the TV. First of all, when both of these two quarterbacks came out of college, Caleb and Jayden, the thing you heard about Caleb was, you know, his improv, you know, being able to make off-platform throws in the preseason. You saw that. Okay, check. I think that can kind of translate. Of course, you don't want to make that a habit, but again, it translates. With Jayden, what's the things you heard about Jayden? His deep ball accuracy, his athleticism, and then his ball placement. You saw all three of those in the preseason. That ball to Terry, how many times have we seen our wide receivers get yards after catch? It rarely happens. He threw the ball placement where Terry was able to make a move and got an additional 10 or 15 yards. The comeback to Diami, ball placement.
That was a great ball. That ball to Diami, the comeback, I think we're talking about the same one early in the game.
Yeah.
Where he was just, he hesitated a little bit, and Diami just kind of just caught it with his body. It was perfect ball placement.
Yes. So, again, I get it. You're right. It's preseason. They're not going to show as much. But if you're saying, okay, and then, again, think about how much big-time college football he played. He's 24. He's older. He's going to come in. I'm not saying he's going to let the world on fire. But it's no way your eyeball test as a fan. And, again, I get it. You got all these the preseason, you know, heroes. But you look at this cat and then the pedigree from the SEC and the things that he did well in the SEC, and to say that that's not, like, it's not a high probability, that's not going to translate, and you saying you didn't see anything. I mean, again, he only threw 12 passes. I get it. You're right. A lot of them was, again, what Kingsbury wanted him to do. But to know, okay, what was it, 3rd and 2, they pressed man, and it was a screen. Nah, I'm not throwing that. And then throws a dot. Like, and then the athleticism on the two runs that he showed, that he looks like he wasn't even going full throttle.
Reggie,
come on, JP.
Yeah, if you listen to me, I prefaced it by saying I've been impressed, but I haven't seen enough.
I haven't seen enough. With Kenny Pickett, Malik Willis, and Hendon Hooker.
Just look at, look, you can go
I'm
to Twitter,
with you, Reggie. I'm with
and
you.
Look at Junk's Radio. These are charts. I didn't create the charts, and I was just going with the guys who actually have worse pressure to sack ratios than Jayden Daniels in the last decade. Those are the three guys. I'm sorry that I'm giving you the information.
McCarthy and Bo Nix look better than both of them. Like, if you want to be really honest, I watch preseason.
We'll see what happens.
But those two look better.
My point is, you just got to pump the brakes a little bit. If he does this for 6-7 games and looks exactly like he did in the SEC, then this town is going to be a buzz, and I'll be willing to say, yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
And I promised him by saying
Hal
I'm leaning towards it.
Six or seven games, and then he swooned.
Yeah, but he didn't have the pedigree.
He didn't have the pedigree, but he also didn't have a real offensive coordinator.
Now he does.
Well, now Jayden does, yeah.
But he doesn't have the physical gifts that Jayden Daniels has.
For sure.
He may have the arm.
For sure.
But he doesn't have that running ability, which I told you in week one.
He has good running ability, but he doesn't have elite running ability.
He threw the ball 3 times in week one. The first preseason game.
Yeah.
And the run was so easy.
Man.
But what I saw was he's going to get easy gains on those read options, much like RG3 did, much like a lot of quarterbacks do nowadays. And he's going to get a bunch of touchdowns. I said right there, I'm willing to bet on 800 yards rushing, which is a huge amount for a quarterback to have 800 yards.
Fields does that.
I know, but there's only like 2 or 3 guys that do it.
You need more than that.
Of
and I think he's got more than that, by the way. That's just all. I'm just doing what I do anytime I go anywhere. I go on a field, I look, okay, that's the best player. I go to a court, that's the best volleyball player. You see him in the warm-ups. You just, boom, you just see it. I'm looking at it, I'm going, yeah, this kid's different. This kid's, I think he's special.
The anticipation for that week one game against
Tampa. It's a week one game. It's not. I mean, I'll be excited.
I understand.
It's way more than one game.
If he plays poorly, you're going to say, poorly, look, it's one game. It's first year. It's rookie
year. Now,
if
he plays poorly the first five games, it looks like Haskins, then we'll have an issue.
Yeah. But if he plays well, man, this place is going to go bananas.
We're desperate to.
I know. Desperate. I kind of buy into the do theory. I kind of do.
We definitely do.
But I also put a lot of stock into Dan Quinn, Cliff Kingsbury. I think David Blau is going to help him a lot. I talked to Trace about David Blau. He says that guy's awesome. He knows the game. Right. David Blau is going to be an offensive coordinator in this league at some point.
Oh, yeah. I've heard of him.
But I just think all around support
and then throw
that he's
in,
got.
And then throw in
his big.
His natural ability and his work ethic.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome to hear.
Yeah, what else? There's nothing. You can't ask for anything more than that.
Yeah.
If you got a great staff around you, and then this kid has God-given ability that a lot of people don't have, and then work ethic? He's beat everybody. Like, the work ethic, like, hard work pays off.
And it does.
You combine
especially
that with
if you have talent. Especially if you have talent.
Because, like, Tim Tebow was a hard worker, but he was never going to be a good NFL quarterback.
Yeah, but he made plays. But, yeah, he wasn't going to be an elite quarterback, for sure. But if you have the special talent and the hard work combo, it's crazy. I would argue Tebow, he couldn't have been working that hard because the guy didn't even know how to drop back and throw. Like, I mean, I don't know what he was doing. I don't know what Tebow was doing. I mean, I know he's working on his body. He looked great jogging around in the rain.
Well, I mean, he went from, and he was a great SEC quarterback, to one of the best college quarterbacks.
No, I know.
But he stepped up in a level of talent that was playing against him, and defenses could pick out what he was doing right and what he was doing wrong, and they took advantage of it.
Well, he had a doo-doo motion, and, you know.
Yeah, he had a slow delivery.
Yeah, it was trifling.
Yeah. But again, in college, you'd say, oh, this guy's unbelievable.
Yeah.
I didn't think he was going to be a great quarterback in the NFL. He was a great college quarterback, but.
He was just a big, strong
just because
athlete.
You dominate in the SEC doesn't mean you're going to step it up against all these other great players.
Yeah, but nobody would ever compare Tebow's arm talent to James.
I would agree.
Yeah.
I mean,
nobody would.
James got a good arm. I don't think they put it in the elite status, though.
It just
in those
comes
rankings
out,
of the top 10.
Well, he
I guess it was Orlovsky's list. Was it Dan Orlovsky that did that top 10 on
I think
traits?
So.
He didn't have Jaden Daniels.
He doesn't
in the top
have
10 arms.
The arm of Will Levis, you know. Yeah. But it's pretty impressive. It's plenty good enough. It comes out effortlessly and it comes out quickly.
And the thing I most agreed with Reggie, it does seem like he's gliding when he's running. Like I think on those runs, he wasn't in full speed. He didn't even kick it up. He was in like fourth gear. He didn't kick it to fifth.
He was jogging.
Yeah.
I don't even know how you could be that impressed. He was jogging.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was just impressed because it was so easy.
Yeah.
And then I think it's going to be
easy
for him.
That's also by design.
It's going to be easy for him on third and sixes that they might run, be like, okay, here's what we're going to do. Quarterback sweep.
The problem is, and this goes back to my original point that you guys had a problem with, is that he's just still is too so vulnerable. I don't know how often you want to design those.
Yeah. You
he's got to protect
choose.
Himself.
I just bet on, and some of it will be scrambles, I would bet his average game at the end of the year is going to be over 7 carries per game.
It might be, but I'd be shocked if it's 7 designed. Like he's going to be a crash test dummy 7 times.
I said 4 to 5.
I mean,
I think 4 to 5 times they're going to have a run. But even some of those, they're not necessarily designed for him because it's read option, right? He could give it to the running back.
Right.
Sometimes he'll keep it. But I think he's going to have 4 or 5 keepers and then a couple of scrambles.
Well, I mean, you have to take advantage of that.
You got to use his ability.
I mean, there's going to be times where he gets bounced from the pocket because he's getting pressured.
Yeah.
And if he's not going to throw the ball away, all right, I can go get 12 yards.
Yeah.
It's going to be that too.
But he is going to, I don't care what anybody says, he can't just fall down. He has to slide some. He has to slide some. He just has to do it.
Yeah. Who knows? Who knows if he's working on it?
A toothpick.
Trav, I didn't hear it. I don't know if we have the audio. Were Grant and Danny upset about the sliding bit?
Well, they were upset that for sure that he had never practiced sliding. Yeah,
yeah, Danny
was
losing
his mind.
Very upset. Here, I have it.
This is my fear. We're the product of our experiences. We've all got experience with this. This can't just be something we laugh off. It can't be, oh, but he's tough. I don't give a damn. Get down or get out of bounds. This is not a joke. This is our best shot. This is our best chance to have one. He's really, really good. He's a player. He's got a skill set that's wonderful. This needs to be a priority now. Leave that press room, Dan and Jaden, and go work on it. Don't come out of the room until he's good at it. And then do it again tomorrow, and just to be sure. Please, for the love of God, if you won't listen to me about receivers, if you won't listen to me about going to find an offensive tackle in the draft, if you won't listen to me about that stuff, please listen to me about this. Keep him safe. This is not some sort of the whizzing contest off the balcony where we're trying to show how tough we are. For God's sakes, please keep the most important player on this franchise for the next decade, hopefully, healthy.
So my only quibble with Danny's, and I relate to the passion. The only quibble I'll have is I'd bet, you know, whatever I have in my credit card that he can slide. It's not like he doesn't know how to do it. The guy's
Quinn
an athlete.
Didn't seem too concerned.
Yeah.
Quinn went on to explain there are two types of quarterbacks and slides. Right. There's guys who slide like the baseball slide.
Yeah.
And there are others who
and
go
Lamar
down
Jackson. He compared
and
to Lamar
roll,
Jackson.
And he was throwing him in the go down and roll.
Yeah. But he said he also could slide. We saw it at LSU. He just, it's the mentality that, mm-hmm. that has to be banged into Jaden. I know physically he could slide. A dope could do it.
But Jaden,
he has to have the mentality to do it.
Right, because in college, when he was taking those big hits, he could have taken a slide
right.
2 or 3 yards before that, but he wants to get the extra yardage.
Right, and he's tough, and he's done it his whole life.
And he was
football.
Taking big hits.
Yeah, but at this level,
you can't do that.
You can't do that.
Coming up next, Ian Harditz is going to join us, fantasy football writer for Fantasy Life. He has some interesting nuggets about Cliff Kingsbury's offense. We'll tackle that next here on the Junkies. Welcome back. Chucky's come to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. And we're streaming live on the Odyssey app. You can also watch us on the Monumental Sports Network. Joining us now is Ian Harditz, fantasy football writer for Fantasy Life. What's up, Ian?
What's going on, fellas? Happy fantasy draft season.
Oh, I know. It's here.
Everybody's fired up for fantasy. I actually have a college fantasy league starting at 10 a.m. the draft.
Ooh. Today, yeah. I had one.
One of those rolling drafts.
I had one last weekend.
Those get savage, man. You think you know college football until you get into about round 5 or so and start seeing a bunch of guys you've never heard of.
Yeah. Well, in college fantasy, you just got to be very aware and alert each week of what guys are doing, because, you know, it's not like the NFL where you know when a guy gets hurt. I mean, they're going to flash an injury caveat on the TV. Hey, this guy's hurt. He's banged up. He's going to be out weeks 3, 4, 5. But in college, you got to stay on top of that. You know what I mean?
100%. There's even one league called Campus to Canton where you go all the way from. Yeah, I mean, I'm not breaking news to you, but that's where the real, real sickos are at. But you know, I appreciate all forms of fantasy. We're all just having fun either way.
I think we've got a few of those sickos here. Campus to Canton sickos. So we wanted to talk to you about Cliff Kingsbury's offense, because you have some interesting notes about Kingsbury. People here are excited, kind of. The perception is he's this offensive wizard. What should Commanders fans expect from the offense this year led by Cliff Kingsbury as the offensive coordinator?
Yeah, so opening caveat whenever I mention any of these stats. Yes, guys, I understand this is just the preseason. You know, it's not going to exactly be what we see here in a couple short weeks. But you know what? It's the best we're working with right now. So I do think when we can find, again, more extreme trends at either end of the spectrum, maybe that can help lead us onto something. And just in terms of what we've seen through these first 8 quarters with the Commanders, this really does look pretty, pretty similar to exactly what Kingsbury was doing in Arizona. You know, whether it's looking at Terry McLaurin's alignment, I mean, literally just being out there as the offense's left outside wide receiver for 28 of his 29 snaps, saw the exact same phenomenon with DeAndre Hopkins. This is also a situation where we have a 56% no huddle rate right now, second highest team in the preseason, that this just 13%. That's another similarity we saw from Arizona. dead last in pre-snap shift motion rate, you know, 31st in play action rate, just a lot of things that, again, we saw plenty of the time in Arizona. And not to come out here and say that those Arizona offenses were all terrible, but, you know, it has been a while since I think Kingsbury has kind of lived up to that offensive mastermind, you know, sort of reputation. Overall, from 2019 to 2022, those Cardinals offenses were 16th, 13th, 11th, and 21st in total points scored. So don't think he was exactly, you know, cooking with gas in terms of the personnel they had in Arizona. But then again, in Washington, outside of Jaden and obviously Terry McLaurin, don't exactly think this is the world's best offensive environment ever. So we'll see what happens. But so far, it really has been a bit too, you know, for my liking at least, a bit too similar to some of those collegiate spread offenses, you know, really stationary pre-snap than maybe we would have preferred.
Just to kind of defend Kingsbury before we get into some other stuff, and I did this a couple segments ago, when he was in Arizona, all right, Kyler Murray was a rookie his first year. They had a bad year. He took 50 sacks, but he did finish ninth in the league in pass attempts. The second year, the team got better. They went 8-8. The offense got better. He was seventh in pass attempts. Third year, his best year, they went to the playoffs. He was 19th in pass attempts, but James Conner came in, and he was the running back as opposed to Kenyon Drake. So he leaned on James Conner a little bit more, so it was more of a balance. And then that fourth year, when you mentioned that the points per game went down, Kyler got hurt that year, even though they weren't very good even when he was playing. But I think they got better his first 3 years, and especially points per game. It went from like 22 to 26, almost 27. So the offense did get better under Kingsbury in those first 3 years.
For sure, and I think, you know, a big point is that no-huddle rate, that ability to play with a fast pace. And you said it yourself, man, like Kyler and even James Conner put up some big-time numbers because of that. When we're creating more plays in a game, it is shrinking the variance, and that should allow some of your better players to go out there and get more opportunities to make plays. But, you know, is that really what we want to do this year for the 2024 Washington Commanders? Do we want to be in these constant track meets? Because I don't know about you guys, but I saw what that defense looked like down the stretch of last year. I mean, it's not like they were really covering anybody in the first half. And then, yeah, guess what? You take away your two best pass rushers and things get that much worse. So, look, this just, to me, seems like more of the mindset that you want to see from an offense in college when you have someone like Patrick Mahomes, like Kingsbury obviously did at Texas Tech. Or if you're playing, you know, with the Kansas City Chiefs or Buffalo Bills right now, having all those plays in the game, we love that in fantasy land. We'll take as many opportunities with the football as we can get. But for real life purposes, just not so sure I'm the highest on what Cliff is bringing to the table right now.
All right.
I think you referenced Josh Norris's numbers about Jaden Daniels specifically on his 15 dropbacks. And two of the things that he had noted was he's getting rid of the ball in less than 2 seconds. The quickest the NFL last season was 2.36 seconds. And his air yards per attempt so far has been below last season's shortest in the NFL at 5.5 yards. What have you seen from Jaden? Running is different, but in terms of the passing game.
Yeah, and he certainly made some nice throws. I mean, that opening pearl down the right sideline to Dyami Brown, I mean, you can put that up there with really anything we've seen in the preseason. But then again, I mean, Jaden said himself that he actually had to audible to that play to make it happen in the first place. So, look, I think if anyone watched Jaden Daniels at LSU, I mean, we saw plenty of deep dives down the sideline to guys like Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas Jr. time and time again. And we also saw the speed that helped the dude win the freaking Heisman Trophy, for crying out loud. But we also haven't quite seen Daniels, you know, admittedly have to do some of the tougher things that he was being criticized for, i.e. throwing the ball a bit more over the middle and just dealing with pressure. I mean, last season at LSU, only 48% of Daniels' pressure dropbacks actually ended up resulting in a pass attempt. I mean, that was the fourth lowest mark among 147 qualified quarterbacks. So, again, watching the film, to me, it wasn't ever a situation of Daniels not necessarily getting through his progressions. I think he's very good at that. But you would see plenty of examples that the rare occasions when pressure would come, it seemed like Daniels would kind of drop his eyes and just revert into a runner. And guess what? When you're as fast as he is, and especially when you're playing college defenses, it worked out more times than not for him. But at the NFL level, things are going to be a bit more tight. So I was kind of laughing at that scramble he had last week. Gains like 12 yards, and you saw Dan Quinn telling him, get down, and Daniels kind of acknowledging it as well. man, if that sort of play was already getting Dan Quinn nervous, man, I'm worried to see what's going to happen once Daniel starts again. Reverting to a bit more of that reckless man in the open field we've seen. You mentioned the Josh Norris stats, but love the comp that actually Nate Tice of Yahoo Sports had for Jaden Daniels coming out, basically saying that when he's in the open field, got a bit of Johnny Knoxville to his game in terms of the hits he's taken. So stay healthy, get down, Jaden. But yeah, for right now, again, he's played fine in the preseason, but I don't think it's been anything that we necessarily weren't expecting coming in.
So just from a fantasy standpoint, what are you looking at from Washington offensively? Where do you like McLaurin? Where do you rank him? Is he like a legit number two receiver? Do you like him a little bit below that just based on the numbers? Or is he a legit number two? And then with Jaden, FanDuel has his total passing touchdowns set at 16.5. Do you like the over there if he stays healthy? And then where do you like Jaden in fantasy, especially in a super flex?
16.5 seems a little low. I mean, I'll take the slide over, but at the same time, not exactly expecting, you know, 30, 35 passing scores out of him this year. But you know what? In fantasy football, I mean, the two archetypes that we continuously see kind of bust the game and, you know, dictate differently relative to what we're seeing in real life are rushing quarterbacks and then high volume receiving running backs who maybe we'll see Austin Eckler, you know, resume having that role. But again, we just don't see quarterbacks who run as much as Jaden really bust in fantasy land. 27 quarterbacks have had at least 100 carries in a season over the past 10 years. All but three of them went on to finish as a top 12 fantasy quarterback. And I mean, 41% of those guys were even top three. So guys, I mean, Tim Tebow and Taysom Hill, probably the two worst passers that we have seen in the modern NFL, they were still putting up top eight fantasy numbers just by virtue of, again, running the ball more times than not when they drop back to pass. So Jaden Daniels, even if, you know, we can't quite get him up into that QB6, QB7, QB8 tier with guys like Kyler Murray, Joe Burrow, you know, Jordan Love, Dak Prescott, I do think he is right behind them, certified top 10 quarterback, where if you get in around 9 or 10 of your one QB draft, I certainly think he's in play. Super flex, he's going to be more so, again, probably in those early middle stages of round two. So I'm sure I don't need to tell you guys about some of the horror stories you can get into if you really overly fade quarterbacks in the super flex format. So I have no concerns with, you know, taking Jaden as a round two pick, because again, even if the real life struggles could be there early on, I think his archetype and just playing style is going to fit in just fine in fantasy land. As for Terry McLaurin, really hoping we see him finally, you know, break out of this wide receiver three sort of fantasy, not slump he's been in. He's obviously a great player, but man, when you just talk about this generation's Andre Johnson or Allen Robinson just stuck with one bad quarterback after another, I mean, it's tough to say Terry McLaurin and DJ Moore aren't really topping that list. So, hey, as much as I mentioned the DeAndre Hopkins, you know, esque alignment for Terry, Hopkins had over 1,400 yards during his lone full season in Arizona with 160 targets. So if he is going to be featured as Kingsbury's clear-cut number one wide receiver, which would make sense to me, especially considering the lack of kind of a proven guy behind him, with all due respect to Dawson, I do think that Terry is going to have an opportunity to really rise above where he's being drafted right now. So currently a guy that you can see wide receiver 31, wide receiver 32 in ADP on more sites than not. I think guys like Terry McLaurin and Amari Cooper going in that range as well really stand out as ballers who, yeah, have a few questions with their overall offensive environment, but just like it's tough for rushing quarterbacks to bust, tough for a wide receiver that could see 150-plus targets be too bad in fantasy as well.
Talking to Ian Harditz, fantasy football writer for Fantasy Life. I'm intrigued to hear where you have Anthony Richardson, because you're talking about cheat codes and the little amount of play he had last year. He looked like he was going to be a fantasy superstar. Coming off an injury, missed a ton of games last year. How do you see him? Where's he ranked amongst your quarterbacks?
You're not kidding, man. I mean, two full games, he had 20.9 and 29.6 fantasy points. And even in that week two contest against the Texans, 17.7 fantasy points on just 18 snaps. I mean, this dude was number one in fantasy points per dropback last year for a reason. So one of my most drafted quarterbacks of the offseason. I mean, I know it might sound weird to have Anthony Richardson already ranked inside the top six when we've only seen him play, you know, a handful of games at the professional level. But again, this sort of archetype just doesn't really bust in fantasy land. So yes, you're spot on, man. Anthony Richardson and Jaden Daniels, really two guys that I think everyone in traditional traditional leagues, 4-point passing touchdowns should be making a habit of grabbing. So if I am going to be spending up on a quarterback, I want them to have that ability to break fantasy football, the Jalen Hurst and Josh Allens of the world. And really, I do think that goal line rushing role is what could separate Richardson from guys like Daniels and even Lamar Jackson, because his head coach, obviously Shane Steichen, was making things happen with Jalen Hurts in that Eagles offense, and, you know, arguably deserves a lot of credit for popularizing the, you know, tush push as it began. So that is the difference, I think, between someone like Richardson and Kyler and even Jaden Daniels, where last year, in terms of quarterback rush attempts inside the 5-yard line, there's Jalen Hurts number one at 16, Josh Allen number two at 14, and then no other quarterback had more than 5. So I do think Richardson, even if they're going to, you know, protect his health, I mean, we heard Shane Steichen say it, where he wouldn't, you know, be asking Steph Curry to shoot fewer 3-pointers, so he's not going to be taking the foot off the gas with Richardson's rushing work just yet either. So maybe a bit of a lofty comparison for a guy with, you know, 4 career NFL starts to his name, but, you know, God only makes so many humans that are 6'4", 255, and can run a 4'4". So Richardson, just like Daniels, even if we see, you know, some normal growing pains as a real-life passer, just think he runs more than enough to still make it work in fantasy land.
All right, so in terms of receivers, where do you have, I assume you have Justin Jefferson as a first rounder, but do you expect his numbers to dip considerably considering what quarterbacks throw into him? Number one. Number two, rookie receivers, guys like Harrison Jr., guys like Neighbors, guys like Odunze, where do you have those guys? And also, speaking of receivers, Ayuk and CD still not in camp. I assume that you still have CD as maybe the number one receiver, if not number two, behind Tyreek. But should fantasy owners kind of be alert on numbers being slow out of the gate because they just haven't been around?
Yeah, so first of all, with Jefferson, it's one of those things where I think people that are even low on him don't have him ranked lower than like wide receiver 5. So we're ultimately debating, should he be like the 5th or 6th player off the board, or more like the 7th or 8th? So personally, the only wide receivers I've taken ahead of him at the moment are the one you named, CeeDee Lamb, Tyreek Hill, and then Ja'Marr Chase. But man, if we get another week closer to the year and got Chase and CeeDee still holding, you know, in and out respectively, going to be tough not to push him up a little bit. So yes, we have seen, you know, very mixed results in the past of these wide receivers having, you know, iffy signal callers under center. And even, you know, look no further than the guy we mentioned earlier, DeAndre Hopkins, and what he had to do during that Houston year with Brock Osweiler to see a truly great wide receiver suffer from ineptitude under center. So Jefferson, you know, maybe he is just that much better than every other wide receiver to make things work. But, you know, we saw it last year with Ja'Marr Chase and Jake Browning under center, and even to an extent with Jefferson. I know people love throwing out the Nick Mullins stat and, you know, how Jefferson was on the 2,000 yardage pace during those 4 games without Kirk Cousins. But, you know, unfortunately, the Vikings only get to play the Lions twice per year, so not so sure we can exactly take that pace and extrapolate it to 17 games. So Jefferson's still my wide receiver 4, but I get if people want to take, you know, quote-unquote safer options like Bijan Robinson, like Breece Hall at that spot in the first round. With some of the rookie wide receivers, tough to be too low on Marvin Neighbors, just because not only did they fall into offenses that obviously appreciate their talents, wouldn't have been drafted as top 6 if they didn't, but man, such little target competition for both. I mean, with all due respect to Trey McBride, Marvin Harrison Jr. should be the engine of that Kyler Murray-led offense from the beginning. And Malik Neighbors, there's just even less to worry about there. So just like with Jefferson, not exactly looking at the best quarterback situations in the world. Kyler's certainly better than Darnold and, you know, Daniel Jones and everything. But it really does come down to, okay, with Malik Neighbors, when we're talking about the potential for 150-plus targets, tough to be too low on the guys. So Neighbors for me is my wide receiver 14 right there with guys like Jaylen Waddle, Nico Collins, you know, Deebo Samuel, who, yes, they are, in my opinion, at this point in time, better wide receivers and offenses we can trust more. But with enough target competition, I do think Neighbors makes things a lot closer just by the virtue of, again, being such a clear-cut number one in New York. And as for CeeDee Lamb, just get it done, Jerry. You've been talking about going all in, all off season. Just sign your best player already, because, again, even if I don't have data on it, you guys see it as much as I do. When these guys hold out and they suddenly get signed, they come back in and try to get back up to 100. Just feel like there's a worrying, you know, track record of those guys getting a little bit more banged up early on in the year than we would prefer. But, again, every time we look at any wide receiver in fantasy, we're ultimately zeroing in on 4 factors most of the time. Like, how good is the player? What kind of target competition does he have? Is it an offensive environment that's going to give him a bunch of targets and scoring opportunities? And does he have a good quarterback? And just in terms of those 4 factors, I don't think anyone clears it as well as CeeDee, because again, Dak, even if you don't think he's a top three or top five quarterback, I think we can all probably safely assume top 10, top 12, mm-hmm. no target competition in Dallas. He's entering his prime, you know, 25 years young, I believe. And again, just someone that we have so few question marks about as long as he can get on the football field. So for my money's worth right now, it is still Christian McCaffrey first overall, but man, if CeeDee Lamb, you know, in the next few hours signs that contract, I even thinking, you know, a three wide receiver starting format, full PPR, CeeDee's as good as pick as anyone at the top of the draft.
Great stuff, Ian. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you very much, buddy.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Ian Hardis, fantasy football writer for Fantasy Life. Remember, coming up at 9 o'clock, Mike Rizzo, GM of your Washington Nationals. Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan. We'll talk to Mike Rizzo, Nats GM, coming up at 9, but I believe Valdez got some hypotheticals for us.
All right.
Play Junkies hypotheticals.
All right. These are all like part of the news.
We did this last week.
Yes.
Yeah. I thought it was good.
Yeah. All right. So I got a couple more for you today.
All right.
All right. Right now, I will guarantee 10 weeks of Jaden Daniels' health, or guarantee 10 weeks that the Junks will remain in the survivor pool at Circa. You had to pick one or the other.
Oh, I'm taking the survivor pool.
I want Jaden's health.
I know you do.
Jaden's health. I mean, we're going to lose the
survivor
pool.
Here's the problem with
anyway.
The health. Yeah. If you told me Jaden Daniels' health and he plays really well and you gave me a record, I would go with that, because I'm not completely sold on Jaden Daniels being healthy and being a star. Like, what if Jaden Daniels is healthy and is just so-so, or
not,
he's a little disappointing, or he's like a rookie?
He's possible.
A rookie. He has his rookie struggles. You know, it's like
struggle,
Bryce Young.
But he's good.
Like, you're not necessarily completely out on Bryce Young, but what if he's Bryce Young? I don't want that 10 weeks. I would take the survivor pool.
The 10 weeks.
Because you're not guaranteeing me his level of play.
Are the 10 weeks of health, I mean, if he got hurt in week 11, I mean, is it just a minor injury, or is he out for the rest of the year?
Well, that's, we don't know that.
I'm guaranteeing you 10 healthy weeks of Jaden Daniels.
I want 10 healthy weeks of Jaden Daniels. We're going to lose the survivor pool inevitably. Who gives a crap when we lose it?
I know, but
I mean, I'd like to have a nice
10 week. But when 10
you get
into week,
sweat would be fun.
You got a legit sweat at week 11.
Yeah, remember
in the survivor
how excited
pool.
You were for Skippy? You were like fired up when Skippy made it to like week 7.
And then maybe have a possibility to sell your entry.
Eric, what if it was 13 weeks and 13 weeks? 13 weeks of health or 13 weeks survivor pool?
I'm taking the 13 weeks of Jaden.
What about 15 weeks?
But he's different.
But here's the other part. What if in those 10 weeks, because you don't know, he's just saying he's not guaranteeing 10 weeks of health.
I mean, it could still be healthy.
It could be nine weeks of health.
Well, anyway, the counter to it is, well, he could still be healthy just because he doesn't guarantee it.
Right. Correct.
So,
but he's guaranteeing you 10 weeks of survivor.
Maybe at 15 weeks, because then we'll sell the thing before we choke it away.
All right, I have
Bickle's going to have a different answer because he's the biggest Commanders fan here. So.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm desperate. I want 10 weeks of excitement.
He's not even open to the possibility that Jaden Daniels could be like Bryce Young. And Bryce Young could end up being good this year. Like,
I hope he is.
Most rookie quarterbacks struggle.
I
kind of am not open to the possibility of him being catastrophically awful.
Well, he's got better coaching around him, and he's got better players around him
than
Bryce Young did last year. Bryce did not have great support, but you're right.
I have a weather hypothetical for you. The Farmer's Almanac is calling for a blustery winter. All right. Right now, you can have a snowless winter this year, or all the DMV road work magically disappears for the remainder of the year.
Road work. I would have the road work disappear in a heartbeat.
Because
I deal with it every day on the GW Parkway. Told you about last night leaving Wolf Trap and then dealing with the nonsense for the American Legion Bridge.
Yeah.
That affects my life a lot more. Snowless. We almost get snowless. I know you're not guaranteeing it. Maybe blustery. We'll deal with it a couple times.
I'm trying to think.
I can handle any snow.
I hate snow.
I hate it, but I can handle it. But it seems like
we get less snow each year around here.
Yeah.
Thank God.
So even if they're calling for a blustery, that could just mean, you know,
three snows.
Yeah.
All right.
More like colder temps or windy or maybe one big storm, but I hate traffic.
I believe I'm an elite driver in the snow only because I just drive slow.
I'm an elite driver, but snow, I'm a little dicey.
Do you have four-wheel drive?
No.
You have front wheel.
No four-wheel drive.
The front wheel's good.
Not in my car.
Front wheel's good.
My wife does. I do not.
Yeah.
This is a fantasy football hypothetical.
What would you do, by the way, Valdez?
Oh, I hate snow. Like, I despise coming in on snow, having to stay overnight somewhere in the city.
Continue to deal with the traffic.
Yes. Yeah. I would rather deal with that. I'm with Jason. I hate the snow. Everyone else pretends it's like a snow day, but not for us.
My wife loves it. When's it going to snow again? I hope it never snows again.
I'm with you. I hope it never rains again. How about that? I'll one up you on that.
You move down.
No, I need rain.
I want no precipitation.
No, I need rain.
This is yard needs rain. LA.
This is a fantasy football.
Move to Arizona.
Hypothetical. Would you void your first round pick in fantasy football if it guarantees the health of your entire team?
Yes. Your entire fantasy team?
Entire fantasy team.
Yes.
Your entire roster.
Yeah.
You would void a first-round selection for it.
I'd start the draft in the second round. If you could guarantee me every one of those guys would play 17 games.
But then you might not have an elite player.
I think it would depend on where I am in the first round. Like, if I have the first pick.
So you get you have 1-1 overall.
You're still getting a great player in the second round.
I think I'm keeping my 1-1. Because I've...
It's a snake draft, you end up not.
Like, I know, but when I've won fantasy 14. Leagues, I usually have a silly. You know what I mean?
A silly draft pick?
Yeah, I usually have an elite player. Yeah. I don't just start with a second rounder. I'm usually carried by.
No, because that 1-1 could get
carried
hurt.
By Christian McCaffrey or Lamar.
I mean, you could take McCaffrey 1-1-1 and he gets hurt in week 6.
Of course.
I might take the
if you could guarantee me second round through 20,
everyone
we're all going to stay healthy.
Yeah.
I'm taking
I think
that.
I would do that.
The other thing is, when I've won leagues too, it's because of midseason ads.
Just think
like
about
you see somebody who's starting to blow up, and then you know, like a couple seasons ago, did anybody draft Kyren Williams,
you pick him up.
That's a key.
Well, that is a key, but that's also because your running back got hurt.
When are you going to do like a Sidney Sweeney hypothetical? These are all like
Bickle doesn't care about fantasy.
Yeah,
backyard baseball. Hot with young millennials.
Backyard baseball.
Yeah, it was a computer game that you would play. It was like an animated baseball game. It was fun. But in honor of it returning, what childhood game you wish that you could bring back?
Ooh.
And have it redone?
Splinter Cell.
Like they had a brand new
childhood. You were
well,
in
that's
your
fine.
30s playing
adult.
It.
Okay, all right.
You know what? That still counts. You feel like they could do a redo of Splinter Cell for next gen consoles?
For sure. But no, don't make it too complicated. I won't be able to do it. I used to the Sega hockey. I wasn't necessarily.
So you're saying what games are not around anymore?
Yeah. What game do you wish they could do a redo with?
Defender. Is Defender?
You can still download that.
With all the silly graphics that PS10 have or Xbox 180
I love Defender.
Mm. I mean, I loved Mike Tyson's Punch-Out if you did an updated version. He's facing Jake Paul. Maybe they updated.
I was a Ms. Pac-Man guy, too. Now. I was addicted to Ms. Pac-Man.
Yeah.
Defender and Ms. Pac-Man. I feel like those are still around. They might be. I have no idea.
You could just go to, you could probably just download a free version on your computer.
You probably could.
Yeah. You know what?
Yep.
I love Donkey Kong.
Really?
Oh, that was my game. I love Donkey
Where
Kong.
Where it was trapped in the cage up top and you had to.
I wasn't necessarily amazing at it, but I just loved it. And I think I liked Donkey Kong.
You could make
Kong's...
it to the mud pies. You were
oh,
good.
Yeah, mud pies. Donkey Kong 3, I think I was really good at, too. That was a fun game.
All right, last one it's for college football starting. It is week 0. You can go back to the old conference alignments. So there's still a Pac-12. I guess Terps are still in the ACC.
All right. Mm-hmm.
The good old days.
Yep. Or?
But you have to use the BCS computer system.
Oh.
For the national championship. You don't get 12 teams in a
tournament.
You get two.
I like a playoff.
I like the 12-team playoff.
I mean, even though we haven't seen it, I like a playoff.
Even though conference realignment is nuts.
I think I would rather go back to the old days.
You want to play Duke in basketball?
Well, just all around. Like, I mean, the fact that Stanford's in the whatever.
They're in the ACC.
It's just so weird.
Yeah, SMU, Stanford, Cal, and the ACC.
Yeah.
It's different.
I know,
but I like the playoff.
But aren't you looking
expanded.
Forward to a huge 12-team playoff?
Yes, I am.
I haven't really
Instead
processed.
Of just having the computer pick for you?
Yes. Yeah. I hated the BCS.
And then coaches trying to manipulate the computer system by beating teams by a certain amount of points.
So essentially the BCS is dead. I mean,
it's been dead for a while.
It's just, yeah.
What do you mean, is it dead?
Well, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah,
the way they determine their six teams.
They had a committee.
Yeah, they had a committee now.
Yeah.
The committee will rank the, starting in November, will rank the 12 teams. And then at the end, after the regular
season.
Still
going to have controversy with that.
They'll seed them.
It's fine.
Yeah, maybe team 11 or 12.
I'd like to go back all. I'd like realignment, everything. I want the Seahawks back in the AFC. I'm not kidding. I want the Astros to be a National League team. I mean, this is crazy to me. I hate all this stuff. I've given up on it.
You just want four divisions?
Yeah, I want it back the way it used to be.
Yeah, times are changing, but I would definitely take
Maryland
the 12-team playoff
ACC,
over.
I mean, that's what I want.
Over the
I'm kind of used to them in the Big Ten now.
You are?
Yeah.
No, it's fine. I don't mind the Big Ten, but I like the old way.
Coming up next, Mike Rizzo, Nats GM, president of baseball ops, joins us here on the Junk. Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan. We'll talk to Mike Rizzo, Nats GM, coming up at 9, but I believe Valdez got some hypotheticals for us.
All right.
Real Junkies hypotheticals.
All right. These are all like part of the news.
We did this last week.
Yes.
Yeah.
I thought it was good.
Yeah. All right. So I got a couple more for you today.
All right.
All right. Right now, I will guarantee 10 weeks of Jaden Daniels' health, or guarantee 10 weeks that the Junks will remain in the survivor pool at Circa. You have to pick one or the other.
Oh, I'm taking the survivor pool.
I want Jaden's health.
I know you do.
Jaden's health. I mean, we're going to lose this.
Here's the problem with
anyway.
The health. Yeah. If you told me Jaden Daniels' health and he plays really well and you gave me a record, I would go with that because I'm not completely sold on Jaden Daniels being healthy and being a star. Like, what if Jaden Daniels is healthy and is just so-so or
not
is a little
possible.
Disappointing or he's like a rookie?
Not
he's
possible.
A rookie. He has his rookie struggles. You know, it's like Bryce
struggle,
Young.
But he's
like you're not necessarily completely out on Bryce Young, but what if he's Bryce Young? I don't want that 10 weeks. I would take the survivor pool.
The 10 weeks.
Because you're not guaranteeing me his level of play.
Are the 10 weeks of health, I mean, if he got hurt in week 11, I mean, is it just a minor injury or is he out for the rest of the year?
Well, that's, we don't know that.
I'm just guaranteeing you 10 healthy weeks of Jaden Daniels.
I want 10 healthy weeks of Jaden Daniels. We're going to lose the survivor pool inevitably. Who gives a crap when we lose it?
I know, but.
I mean, I'd like to have a nice
but 10 weeks sweat
would be fun.
You got a legit sweat at week 11.
Yeah, remember
survivor
how excited
pool.
You were for Skippy? You were like fired up when Skippy made it to like week 7.
Eric, and then maybe have a possibility to sell your entry.
Eric, what if it was 13 weeks and 13 weeks? 13 weeks of health or 13 weeks survivor pool?
I'm taking the 13 weeks of Jaden.
What about 15 weeks?
But he's different.
But here's the other part. What if in those 10 weeks, because you don't know, he's just saying he's not guaranteeing 10 weeks of health.
I mean, could still be healthy.
It could be nine weeks of health.
Well, anyway, the counter to it is, he could still be healthy just because he doesn't guarantee it.
Right. Correct.
So,
but he's guaranteeing you 10
maybe
weeks of survivor.
Maybe at 15 weeks, because then we'll sell the thing before we choke it away.
All right, I have
Bickle's going to have a different answer because he's the biggest Commanders fan here. So.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm desperate. I want 10 weeks of excitement.
He's not even open to the possibility that Jaden Daniels could be like Bryce Young. And Bryce Young could end up being good this year. Like
I hope he is.
Most rookie quarterbacks struggle.
I
kind of am not open to the possibility of him being catastrophically awful.
Well, he's got better coaching around him, and he's got better players around him
than
Bryce Young did that last year. Bryce did not have great support, but you're right.
I have a weather hypothetical for you. The Farmer's Almanac is calling for a blustery winter. All right. Right now, you can have a snowless winter this year, or all the DMV road work magically disappears for the remainder of the year.
Road work. I would have the road work disappear in a heartbeat.
Because
I deal with it every day on the GW Parkway. Told you about last night leaving Wolf Trap and then dealing with the nonsense for the American Legion Bridge.
Yeah.
That affects my life a lot more. Snowless. We almost get snowless. I know you're not guaranteeing it. Maybe blustery. We'll deal with it a couple times.
I'm trying to think.
I can handle any snow.
I hate snow.
I hate it, but I can handle it. But it seems like
we get less snow each year around here.
Yeah.
Thank God.
So even if they're calling for a blustery, that could just mean, you know.
Three snows.
Yeah.
All right.
More like colder temps or windy or Maybe a few, maybe one big storm, but I hate traffic.
I believe I'm an elite driver in the snow, only because I just drive slow.
I'm an elite driver, but snow, I'm a little dicey. Well,
do you have four-wheel drive?
No.
You have front wheel.
No four-wheel drive.
But front wheel's good
Not in my car.
Front wheel's good.
My wife does. I don't know.
Yeah.
This is a fantasy football hypothetical.
What would you do, by the way, Valdez?
Oh, I hate snow. Like, I despise coming in on snow, having to stay overnight somewhere in the city.
Continue to deal with the traffic.
Yes. Yeah. I would rather deal with that. I'm with Jason. I hate the snow. Everyone else pretends it's like a snow day, but not for us.
My wife loves it. My wife loves it. When's it going to snow again? I hope it never snows again.
I'm with you. I hope it never rains again. How about that? I'll one up you.
She moved
no, I need rain.
I want need no rain. Precipitation.
No, I need rain.
This is your yard needs rain.
LA.
This is a fantasy football.
Need Arizona.
Hypothetical. Would you void your first round pick in fantasy football if it guarantees the health of your entire team?
Yes.
Your entire fantasy team?
Entire roster. Fantasy team.
Yes.
Yeah. Your entire roster.
Yeah.
You would void a first round selection for it.
I'd start the draft in the second round if you could guarantee me every one of those guys would play 17 games.
But then you might not have an elite player.
I think it would depend on where I am in the first round. Like if I have the first pick.
So you got one, you have 1-1 overall.
You're still getting a great player in the second round.
I think I'm keeping my 1-1. Because
it's a snake draft, you end up not.
I know, but when I've won fantasy 14. Leagues, I usually have a silly. You know what I mean?
A silly draft pick?
Yeah, I usually have an elite player. Yeah. I don't just start with a second rounder. I'm usually carried.
No, because that 1-1 could get
carried by Christian McCaffrey or Lamar.
I mean, you could take McCaffrey 1-1-1 and he gets hurt in week 6.
Of course.
I might take the
guarantee. If you could guarantee me second round through 20,
everyone
we're all going to stay healthy,
yeah.
I'm taking
that. I think
that.
I would do that.
The other thing is, when I've won leagues too, it's because of mid-season ads.
Just think
about you see somebody who's starting to blow up, and then, you know, like a couple seasons ago, did anybody draft Kyren Williams?
No,
running back,
you pick him up. You pick him up. Yeah.
That's a key.
Well, that is a key, but that's also because your running back got hurt.
When are you going to do like a Sidney Sweeney hypothetical?
Yeah.
These are all like
Bickle doesn't care about fantasy.
Yeah,
backyard baseball hot with young millennials.
Backyard baseball.
Yeah, it was a computer game that you would play. It was like an animated baseball game. It was fun. But in honor of it returning, what childhood game you wish that you could bring back?
Ooh,
and have it redone.
Splinter Cell.
Like they had a brand new
childhood. You were
well,
in
that's
your
fine.
30s playing
adult.
It.
Okay, all right.
You know, what? That still counts. You feel like they could do a redo of Splinter Cell for next gen consoles?
For sure. But no, don't make it too complicated. I won't be able to do it. I used to the Sega hockey. I wasn't necessarily.
So you're saying what games that are not around
steel?
Anymore?
Yeah. What game do you wish they could do a redo with?
I love Defender. Is Defender?
You can still download that
with all. I know, but all the silly graphics that PS10 have or Xbox 180
have. I love Defender.
Mm. I mean, I loved Mike Tyson's Punch Out. If you did an updated version, he's facing Jake Paul. Maybe they updated.
I was a Ms. Pac-Man guy too. Now. I was addicted to Ms. Pac-Man.
Yeah,
Defender and Ms. Pac-Man. I could play them around. They might be. I have no idea.
You could just go to you could probably just download version on your computer.
You probably could.
Yeah. You know what?
Yep.
I love Donkey Kong.
Really?
Oh, that was my game. I love Donkey
Kong.
Where
it was trapped in the cage up top and you had to...
I wasn't necessarily amazing at it, but I just loved it. And I think I liked Donkey Kong.
You could make it to the mud pies.
Mud pies. Donkey Kong 3, I think I was really good at it, too. That was a fun game.
All right, last one for college football starting. It is week 0. You can go back to the old conference alignments. So there's still a Pac-12... I guess Terps are still in the ACC.
All right. Mm-hmm.
The good old days.
Yep. Or,
but you have to use the BCS computer system for the national championship. You don't get 12 teams in a
tournament.
You
get two.
You get two.
I like a playoff.
I like the 12-team playoff.
I mean, even though we haven't seen it, I like a playoff.
Even though conference realignment is nuts.
I think I would rather go back to the old days.
You want to play Duke in basketball?
Well, just all around, like... I mean, the fact that Stanford's in the whatever,
they're
in
ACC.
It's just so weird.
Yeah, SMU, Stanford, Cal, and the ACC.
Yeah.
It's different.
I know,
but I like the playoff.
But aren't you looking
expanded.
Forward to a huge 12-team playoff?
Yes, I am.
I haven't really
Instead of just having the computer pick for you?
Yes. Yeah. I hated the BCS.
And then coaches trying to manipulate the computer system by beating teams by a certain amount of points.
So essentially the BCS is dead. I mean,
it's been dead for a while.
It's just, yeah.
What do you mean, is it dead?
Well, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah,
they determine their six teams.
They had a committee.
Yeah, they had a committee now.
Yeah,
the committee will rank, starting in November, will rank the 12 teams. And then at the end, after the regular season,
still going to have controversy with that.
They'll seed them.
It's fine.
Yeah, maybe team 11 or 12.
I'd like to go back all. I'd like realignment everything. I want the Seahawks back in the AFC. I'm not kidding. I want the Astros to be a National League team. I mean, this is crazy to me. I hate all this stuff. I've given up on it.
You just want four divisions?
Yeah, I want it back the way it used to be.
Yeah, times are changing, but I would definitely take
Maryland
12-team
and
playoff
the ACC.
Over.
I mean, that's what I want.
Over the
I'm kind of used to them in the Big Ten now.
You are?
Yeah.
No, it's fine. I don't mind the Big Ten, but I like the old way.
Coming up next, Mike Rizzo, Nats GM, president of baseball ops, joins us here on the Junk.